Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
The Lord has given me some things to share with you tonight, and I'm excited because I believe it's going to help you a whole lot. It's going to help you in your walk in life. Going to help you to live the life of faith. And if you're in faith, what do you have? You got peace and joy, right? Some people want peace and joy. Yeah. See, why do people drink alcohol? Why do they do drugs? Why do people do that? Because there's two things they're looking for. There's two things they're looking for. You know what it is? It's peace and joy. That's exactly right. So people do drugs and they smoke things and they drink things and they get themselves to a place where they're not worried about anything anymore and they can't think straight. And it gives them peace. It gives them peace. But it's not a real peace. It's just covering their problems. It's not really dealing with their problems and causing them to overcome their problems. But faith causes us to overcome our problems in life, right? So when we have faith, we don't need drugs. When we have faith, we don't have to drink alcohol. When we have faith, we don't have to get intoxicated or drunk on these things because faith keeps us intoxicated. Faith does it all. Faith keeps you happy, keeps you full of joy, keeps you peaceful. You're not worried about your life. No matter what's going on, you got peace, right? So that's what we have that the world doesn't have. There's a lot that we have that the world doesn't have. And so that's why the world does funny things, crazy things. They do crazy things to try to give themselves some happiness, try to help fill that void in their heart, that God-sized vacuum on the inside of them that only God can fill. And so they don't have God, so they've got this emptiness on the inside. Now, there's confusion. They're walking in the dark, so they lack a ton of understanding. And there's a lot of confusion with the people in the world. So why in the world would a child of God want to imitate the people in the world? Why would we want to follow them and look at them as an example when they're missing so many parts to the puzzle of life? They're so confused about so many things. But we're not confused, and we're getting less and less confused all the time because we're learning God's ways. We're filling our hearts and our minds with the understanding of God's Word. God's Word is the instruction manual of life. It teaches us what to do, what not to do, why things are, why things happen the way they happen, and we don't have to be confused or guessing in life. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Over here in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John 2, in verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So notice that. He says, do not love the world. Do not love. Now, he's not talking about the planet. You know, he's not talking about Earth. He's talking about what we were just talking about. The world's ways. The world's mentality. The world's way of thinking. The world's system. All right? The world's way of doing things. He says, don't love that. Don't love that. He's telling the church, don't love the world or the things in the world. If you love these things, if you love doing it the way the world does it, well, then the love of the Father's not in you. Or we could say you're not in faith. You're not in faith concerning the Father. Because if you're in faith concerning the Father, you have fulfillment. You have fulfillment in your heart. You have peace and joy. So therefore, you don't get carried away with the things that the world gets carried away with. We don't get carried away with what they get carried away with. Because we have the answer, right? We have the missing pieces, the things that they're looking for. Over in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world." So now 1 John, get this now, 1 John chapter 2 says, "Do not love the world." Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. See, there's a world's way of doing things, and then there's God's way of doing things. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but do something else. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. So don't love the world. Don't be conformed to the world. He says, but get your thinking changed. Get your mind renewed and all turned around and turned right side up. How? How do you renew your mind? With the Word of God. With the Word of God. You get in the Word, and the Word renews your mind. That's how you find the acceptable and perfect will of God, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life. You're going to find that in the Word of God. All right? How do you find the will of God for your life? It's in the Word, through the Word of God. So that's how we renew our minds, through the Word of God. That's what causes us to know the will of God. So we're not going to love the world. We're not going to be conformed to the world. We're going to get our minds in line with this word right here. Now it's Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Notice that. There's a way that seems right to a man. What way do you think that is? It's the way of the world. It's the way of the world. See, there's a way it seems right to man. It seems right to the world. Well, this seems like the right thing to do. And so everybody does it and been doing it for generations, whatever it might be. Seems like the way to go. Seems like this is how you do it. But the Bible says the end is death. It's not going to end very well. In the end, it's not going to end very well. One of the areas that I want to cover tonight that the world's got really messed up is in the area of relationships. It's very important to understand relationships. And again, the world does not understand relationships. They've got it all messed up. There are many kinds of relationships in the world. There's, of course, you know, relationships that are just acquaintances, people that you are aware of, people that you're familiar with, maybe people that you see a lot. There isn't really anything there. You know, maybe you go to the same school together, go to the same grocery store. There they are. You know, you see them. You recognize their face. You recognize their car. It doesn't go much further than that. How many people have some acquaintances? Of course, we all have acquaintances. And then there's those that are associates, people that are like business partners or coworkers. People that they support one another. You know, they work together on projects and things. They're associates. And then, of course, there's family. You've got your immediate family. You've got your extended family. You've got your relatives. And then there's family. Then there's friends. Someone you have fun being around. You both like to skateboard together and or whatever it might be. You like the same football teams, whatever it might be. Then there's best friends, right? Someone you enjoy really being around, spending a lot of time with. Got best friends. And then we got boys and girlfriends. Boys and girlfriends. And that's you know, a guy and a girl getting intimate with each other and have a very close relationship. And many times it's full of love and romance. And then there's marriage relationship, the spouses, you know, husbands and wives. They're lifelong partners in a covenant of love, right? So we got all these relationships. So you got so many. I mean, it could get very confusing. Of course, it is very confusing to the world. But when we come over into the kingdom of God, God breaks it down for us and makes it much more simpler than all these different relationships. He breaks it down really to three relationships. And that is family, fellowship, people we fellowship with, and friends. Family, people we fellowship with, and friends. Now, of course, acquaintances, that's not much of a relationship there, so I didn't include that. We pass people all the time. We recognize people, but that's not really any kind of relationship. And family is pretty self-explanatory. So I'm not going to get really into talking about family very much tonight. I'm going to talk primarily about these other two, fellowship and friendship. Fellowship and friendship. And there is a difference between the two. The world doesn't know this. But you guys are getting the inside scoop, which is going to help put some pieces in the puzzle that are going to help you to be successful in life and not go the way that seems right and causes a lot of problems for people in the end. All right? So we see over here in Acts chapter 2, the early church, just getting started now. Remember, Acts chapter 2 is when the Holy Spirit came in, they were all filled, and this is when the church age began. Up until this time, it's been the Jews at the temple in Jerusalem, but now the church age has begun. All right? Jesus is risen from the dead. This is just like just shortly after he's risen from the dead. So the church age has just begun. And it says here in Acts chapter 2 in verse 42. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, the early church was so awesome. They were so successful. I mean, there was such power that was manifested, that showed up in their lives. Their church services were absolutely amazing. I mean, there were times they came together and prayed over, in Acts chapter 4 records it, where the whole place shook with the power of God. Literally, not just people shook, the building shook because of the power of God. I mean, they saw the glory of God. Angels showed up, helped and assisted and ministered to people. And I mean, it's just amazing when you go through the book of Acts, all the incredible things that happened. I mean, the early church had it going on. They had it going on. And, of course, you and I today should have no less than what they had. We should have a whole lot more. We should have what they had and a whole lot more because we'd be given so much more. They didn't even have the New Testament written. We got that teaching us, all right? So we know a whole lot more. So we can get back to what they had and go on beyond that into even greater things. That's what I'm excited about seeing in my time. How about you? All right. We're going to bring that in by our faith. Our faith is going to bring that in. So, but notice there was a reason they were successful. Starting right out, notice these things that they were steadfastly engaged in, things that they stuck with, things that they just continued in. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine means teaching, all right? So they stuck with the apostles' teaching. And what else? That's the second thing. Fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship is very important. This is a key component to the early church's success. They had great success because, of course, number one, they had great teaching. And then number two, they had great fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So they did communion together and they prayed, man. They were prayers. They were a praying group of people, all right? So they had these three things in common. They had these three things that they continued in constantly. And that's why they were so successful. Now, of course, we look at the word fellowship, and a lot of folks don't really understand the word fellowship. They really don't understand the meaning behind that. And because of that, much of the church world isn't really walking in the fullness of the fellowship that God has for them to walk in. They've got it all confused. When I look up this word fellowship right here in the original Greek language, this in Acts chapter 2:42, it means association, community, joint participation, sharing. It means a company of people that share the same interests or goals. And we're talking about people that are fellowshipping. These are people, they're sharing the same interests or goals or aiming for the same thing. They relate and connect with each other. They have things in common with each other. They partner together, work together towards a common interest. How many of you know we have a common interest in this place tonight, don't we? We have a common interest, and it's Christ. It's Jesus. It's the Word of God. It's the things of the Spirit. They enjoy each other socially. They have fun together. That was the definition of friends. We have fun together. Well, That's what fellowship's all about. We come together. We got common goals. We share the same ideas. We work together. Right? Pray together. We work together as a team, as a spiritual team, right? We enjoy each other. We have fun times with each other. This is all a part of fellowship, fellowshipping with one another. Let me read Acts chapter 2, 42 from the ERV translation. The believers spent their time listening to the teaching of the apostles. They shared everything with each other. So instead of saying fellowship, they use the word shared there. And it says they shared everything with each other. They ate together. A lot of times it was pizza. No, I don't know that. But they ate together and prayed together. They prayed together. They loved to pray together. All right? The CEV translation says they spent their time learning from the apostles, and they were like family to each other. There's family, right? They were like family to each other. They also broke bread and prayed together. Happen to we are a spiritual family, right? When you're born again, you're born into the kingdom of God. You're born into the family of God. So we are spiritually united together by the same Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit that's flowing in me is flowing in you. So just like a natural family, you know, they have the same blood flowing through their veins, you know? They're of the same bloodline. And so, but you and I are of the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. And we're joined together by Him and the blood of Jesus. So we're like brothers and sisters with each other. And this is all a part of being in fellowship with each other. Man, we want to get into what the early church had. They had this spiritual connection. They loved God together. So we don't want to just be superficial. This is key, I mean, to seeing the kind of things they saw in the early church. I believe God wants this generation to rise up and really usher in His manifested presence, His power. It's going to happen as we come together in one accord, right? One accord, spiritually connected, hooked up with each other in the presence of God. So when the Bible talks about friends now, it's something very different than what we have been taught by the world. It's very different. Proverbs 18:24 says this: a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, I looked up the original Hebrew words for friends, friendly, and friend that are used in this verse. And they're actually three totally different words. It's not the same Hebrew word. Three totally different words here. So the first one says, a man who has friends. A man who has friends. That friends in the Hebrew means neighbor, brother, companion, fellow. Fellow. Of course, that's half. We're halfway to fellowship, right? Fellowship, all right? So a man who has friends, his fellowship, companionship, must himself be friendly. I looked up the word friendly, and I found out it doesn't mean friendly. I was really amazed. It meant, you know, when you look it up, it means hurt. The Hebrew word for friendly there, that's translated friendly, it means hurt, harm, displease. And I thought, where did they get friendly from? I mean, it's a really bad translation. Really bad. So it doesn't even mean that. And we're going to see that from some other translations. I was reading from the New King James Version, also the Old King James Version, but all the other translations say much different things. And I understand that because I don't know where they got friendly from. It ain't even in there. means hurt, harm, displease. And then it says, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So this is a different friend than the first friend. A man who has friends must show himself friendly. This is a different friend. A friend who sticks closer than a brother. This in the Hebrew means love for one another. Lover. Devotee. Adore. Well, that right there tells you that's a whole lot deeper. I mean, lover, adore, devotee. That's a whole lot different than neighbor, brother, companion, fellow. A whole lot different than just fellowship. So let me read a few different translations for you. The ASV translation, American Standard Version. He that maketh many friends does it to his own destruction. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Pretty different, isn't it? A man that maketh many friends does it to his own destruction. Amplified. The man of too many friends, chosen indiscriminately, will be broken in pieces and come to ruin. But there is a true loving friend who is reliable and sticks closer than a brother. Sticks closer than a brother. The Amplified Classic. The man of many friends, a friend of all the world, will prove himself a bad friend. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The CSB translation. One with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. The CJB translation. Some friends pretend to be friends, but a true friend sticks closer than a brother. Or than your own family. Closer than your own family. True friend. Darby translation. A man of many friends will come to ruin, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The ERV translation, the English Revised Version. Some friends are fun to be with, but a true friend can be better than a brother. Oh, that's interesting. Notice that. Some friends are fun to be with. What kind of friend is that? That's a fellow. That's a companion. That's a neighborly friend. Friendly person. So it's talking about really fellowship there. What the New Testament talks about is fellowship. So a fellowship relationship with someone is fun to be with, but a true friend, remember that word? Lover, devotee, much deeper, much more intimate, can be better than a brother. The ESV, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. One more, the CEB. There are persons for companionship, but then there are friends who are more loyal than family. I love that. There are persons for companionship. Again, companionship and fellowship are synonymous. It's one and the same. Fellowship is companionship, okay? There are persons for companionship. Let's just say it this way. There are persons for fellowship. There are persons for fellowship, but then there are friends. Then there are friends who are more loyal than family. Loyalty, devoted, remember? Lover. So we see right there, there's a difference. If I was trying to get over this, there's a difference between fellowship, companionship, which is what we enjoy, right? Companionship here tonight, fellowship. And that can go deeper than we've ever gone before. We can go much deeper in our fellowship and enjoy a much deeper level of fellowship in the spirit, not in the flesh, in the spirit. Much deeper places we can go with this companionship, with this fellowship, all right? So there's this fellowship, there's this companionship, but then there are friends. Then there are friends who are more loyal than family, because that's what a biblical friend is. A biblical friend goes beyond people that you fellowship with. A biblical friend goes beyond people that you fellowship with. And if you go back to some of these translations where it talks about how it could be harmful, it could be harmful. One with many friends may be harmed, but there's a friend that stays closer than a brother. What do you think he's trying to say there? Could be harmed by a friend. Well, I've seen this, and I believe this to be true, that when people try to take a relationship that is to be fellowship, a fellowship, companionship, relationship, and they try to turn it into a friendship, they can get themselves very hurt and very harmed by it. Why? Because if I take you on as my friend, as my BFF, right? My best friend forever. But that's not the kind of relationship that in reality exists. What really is there is fellowship. But I'm trying to turn it into friendship. So what happens now when my idea of friendship all of a sudden falls apart because there isn't this deep loyalty and lifelong commitment to one another? See, because that's what we're talking about, this devotee, this lover, this love relationship. We're talking about an intimacy that it's a covenant commitment. Let's put it that way. It's a covenant commitment. It's a lifelong covenant commitment. That's what friendship is in the Bible. Friendship in the Bible is a lifelong covenant relationship. It's a lay your life down for one another kind of relationship. And you're committed to each other for life. That's long. That's a long time. And you know, a lot of times you're in school and you got friends, but they're not really friends. They're associates. There are people you associate with. There are people that you enjoy some companionship with. You enjoy some fun times together. But they're not really friends according to the Bible. But if you look at them as your lifelong friend, which is not realistic. I mean, if it wasn't for Facebook, I would never see or know about all the people I went to school with from first through eighth grade. And all of a sudden, Facebook comes on the scene and all these things start popping up. And I think, my Lord, don't look like him at all. You know, but you see the name. You think, that cannot be them. That cannot be them. You got to be kidding me. I mean, just totally disconnected. I mean, Facebook helps keep you connected, you know. But when you're with them and you're first, second, eighth grade, whatever it is, ninth grade, tenth grade, you know, you think this is your world and these people are going to be there for the rest of your life and you got this great relationship and everything. I'm not friends with any of the friends I was friends with. And yet we felt like it was a lifelong thing. In fact, I had one friend, his name was Carrie. And him and I, we even looked alike. We had the same hairstyle, same everything. We looked alike. So we'd go out together, hang out together, you know. We were always laughing together. We shared the same funny stuff together, you know. And then we'd go out and people would look and say, are you brothers? You know, we'd always kid around with each other and say, are you brothers? You know, because people always said that to us. I mean, we looked like brothers. And I thought, man, this is like a lifelong relationship, you know. And then I got saved. And I shared the good news with him. And he didn't want to hear the good news. And then he started to listen to me, because we were such good friends. He started to listen about the word. He was very reluctant. But I started sharing the gospel with him. I said, Gary, listen, I'm telling you. I said, showing him things. And he starts to see it. He goes home. He was Jewish. He goes home. He tells his dad. He tells his parents about some of the things I was sharing with him. And his dad freaked out, got all over him and said, if you ever say that name in this house again, you are out of this family. I mean, really. He freaked out. He couldn't believe his dad even reacted that way. He'd never seen his dad get so upset like that. It scared him. So he looked at me. He said, don't ever talk to me about that again. Don't ever talk to me about that again. I thought, well, that's going to be tough, man. I said, this is my life now, you know. Jesus is just, man, he's it. You know, and we'd still try to hang out together, and he'd crack his funny jokes, and they weren't funny to me anymore. I didn't laugh. And I didn't want it to end. I loved the guy. But the relationship just, we went two different directions, you know. So our fellowship changed. Our fellowship changed. But you see, people get hurt. People get really devastated when people that they think are lifelong friends, it's not lifelong. It's not a covenant committed relationship to each other. It's just fellowship. You're enjoying fellowship with people. But if you turn it into more than that, then people get hurt. They get hurt. And, you know, I've seen that with young girls, you know, on class trips and things like that, you know. And you see, they get so upset, you know, because one second they're talking about being their best friends, and then the next second, someone else is their best friend. And it's devastating. They're devastated. People get devastated over these things. They're hurt. So people inflict themselves with a lot of harm, a lot of emotional hurt. And some people could be so hurtful that it leaves scars in their souls. They got problems trusting people when they get older. They got problems having, you know, relationships with people as they grow up because they got this scar, you know, because they got so hurt by their friend betraying them. But if they understood their friend was never really a friend, it was just a fellowship, then they would never have gotten so hurt. But when you try to turn fellowship into friendship, you're going to end up getting hurt. And that's what the Bible's telling you. So we're not to be looking for a lot of friends. We're to look for a lot of fellowship, enjoy our fellowship with one another, grow in our fellowship with one another. And when it comes to friends, that's a very rare thing. That is not a very common thing. It would be amazing if you found yourself one true friend. Someone that you could really call your friend according to the Bible. I'm talking about a covenant, lifelong friend. That is not a common thing. And we got to understand that the world doesn't understand that at all, but we're learning that. We're not going to go the way that seems right. We're going to understand. Because if you get the relationship wrong, if you get wrong ideas about the relationship, then what happens is people put pressure on one another. People put pressure on one another. People have expectations, and I expect, because we're friends, and this is what I expect. I mean, how many times? Oh, my. It's like, you know, I talked to George Werner on the phone, and I say, George, you know, we're going to get together and everything. We plan on getting together, and I get on my bicycle, and I ride over to George's house on my bicycle, and I get there, and he's not even there. And the guy, you know, he went off with somebody else, just left me hanging out there. It was devastating. It happened to me a few times. George did it a few times. Finally, I cut him off. I said, that's it. We're not friends anymore. I cut him off, you know. And then John Selma did it to me. You know, next thing you know, he's hanging out with another group of guys, and I'm left out in the dust again. It's like, you know, Friday night, I ain't got nobody. I'm left alone. It's very sad. Just riding around on my bicycle all by myself. I know, it's terrible. Traumatic. I'm still dealing with it. I'll just get it out right now. Wish we never even brought it up. But I'm going to be all right. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26 says this. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. You got to watch. And he says, choose your friends very carefully, because a friend is a lifelong commitment. You understand that? It's a lifelong commitment. So again, a fellowship is a connection. Someone you connect with, identify with, a fellow colleague in business, school, or work, co-worker, teammate, affiliate, affiliation, an association, a membership type of relationship, a brotherhood where there's sociability, being sociable with one another. That's That's what fellowship is. A friend, also translated lover, is people that will be together until the end of time, who love and cherish one another's feelings and thoughts, who truly and deeply love someone you deeply care about and would most likely give your life to make happy. That's a big one. A lot of times we're looking for people to make us happy. We're talking about someone that you're committed to giving your life to make them happy. See, you hear a lot of the love songs in the world, you know, the boyfriend, girlfriend love songs in the world, you know. And so I can't live without you. I need you. I need you. I got to have you. Got to have you. Got to have you. She's mine. She's mine. She's mine. Got to have her. Got to have her. Me, 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 me. That's what it's all about. It's not about giving. It's not about sacrificing. It's not about laying your life down. It's about me, 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 me. Right? It's all selfish. It's all selfish. It's all fleshy. They don't know anything. Don't listen to the world. I really like the music. Okay, well, you're really deceived. You're really messing yourself up. Don't love the world. Don't love the world. They're stupid. I'm just telling you straight up. Can I just tell you straight up? They're stupid. They don't know a lot. They're not very smart. So we must watch out for these things. So you deeply care about each other. Literally, you lay down your life for one another. There are no BFFs in elementary school. And I'll tell you why. Can I tell you why? Because they don't have the foggiest idea about covenant commitment. They don't got the foggiest idea about laying your life down. You hear me? They don't have the foggiest idea. They're not BFFs. They're they could be best BFFs, but they're best fellowshippers. We got to take the forever out. They're just BFs. Best fellowshippers. Praise God. Be good at fellowshipping. You can get good at that. But they don't have the foggiest idea. And middle school don't have much more of an idea about covenant commitment relationships. This is really for the mature. And it might go beyond junior high. There's got to be some serious spiritual maturity here to really understand covenant relationship, covenant commitment. Are you interested in learning about that tonight? Good, I thought so. Character. You gotta have some serious character to have this kind of covenant relationship. Notice what Jesus said over in John chapter 15, verse 13. He said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his," huh? See, that's what we're talking about, guys. When we're talking about friendship, now I'm talking about according to the Bible. According to the Bible, friends are people that lay down their lives for each other. They lay down their lives for each other. So Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." I mean, it's a full commitment to Jesus to do whatever he commands you. Think about that. So we're not just friends with Jesus. When you get born again, you're to become his friend. How do you do that? By growing up and doing whatever he tells you to do. And that's what qualifies for friendship. Obedience, obeying his commands, if you want to be his friend. "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." If you make everything known to someone that you're just to be in fellowship with, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. You're not being smart. You're going to cause harm for yourself. That's what Proverbs was telling us about. You don't open your heart up and your soul and pour everything that's in you and everything you know into people you have fellowship with. thinking like they're going to be there forever. So many times you're going to find yourself betrayed. It's just what happens. I mean, I'm amazed, you know. I think back to the days of old and the guys that I called friends and just, you know, you confide in them and you share stuff with them. And next thing you know, they're sharing it with other people. And it's like, now you're embarrassed, now you're ashamed, now, you know, you've been betrayed. Well, it's because the relationship wasn't as deep as you were trying to treat it. You understand? It was a fellowship, and it was an association. It was there was some companionship there. There were some fun times you share together. There's goals and desires and things that you share together and you enjoy together, but don't turn it into more than it's worthy of. Is it worthy of your lifelong commitment? Laying your life down and sharing everything, all your deepest thoughts and feelings. Is it that kind of relationship? And if we don't understand that, we're going to end up hurt just like a lot of the people in the world. So we save the deep stuff in our life for those who are deep and who deeply care for us. People that have proven to be people that would lay their life down for us. Now, for a lot of people, that would be their parents. Parents would jump in front of a car for their kid, you know. I mean, there's some parents that, you know, they get messed up in drugs or whatever, and it doesn't work out that way. They don't have that same kind of commitment. We understand that. But for the most part, in a lot of cases, a dad or a mom would lay his life down for their child, right? That's what they would do. So you can confide in them. That's a blood covenant relationship right there. You came forth and you have their blood in your veins. You should be able to confide in them. But what does the devil tell you? They're not cool. They don't understand. Don't look, talk to them. Don't listen to them. Don't go to your parents. Go to Charlie. Tell Charlie. Go to Charlie. He'll give you all your counsel that you need. And you're an idiot. You're being stupid. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. You're going to cause harm for yourself. You're going to cause problems, see? And then people get into these relationships, these boys and girls relationships, and they start going deep, man. We're going to love each other for the rest of our lives. Elementary school, I don't think so. Not a good chance it's going to work out that way. How can you say that? You do not have the depth of spiritual maturity or character. You got to understand, you know, humility is the ability to understand your inability. It's to understand your weaknesses. It's very important we have humility. Pride thinks it could, I know everything, and I'm smart. Pride thinks it's really like, you know, it's like fully matured. It knows everything. So you need to understand, you're at a very young age, and there's a lot of growing up to do, a lot of character developing to go on here, all right? You're maturing, you're growing, and of course, the more you apply yourself to the things of God, you can grow faster than the average bear, the average person. You can grow and mature and become a very, very spiritual person. But this kind of commitment is for deep people, is for spiritual people, is for people with a lot of character. And, you know, we have an example of that in the Bible with David and Jonathan over in 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. Of course, you know David became king, right? He isn't king yet in this part of the story. But how many people know David had incredible faith, which means he had incredible character, because you don't have any more faith than you have character. That's another message for another time. But to have faith, you got to have character. So he was a man of tremendous spiritual character, tremendous faith in God. He'd killed a lion, killed a bear, didn't have a shotgun, just went out there and killed him with his hands. And they jumped out and tried to attack and eat one of the sheep. Then he goes out and kills Goliath. And that's where this story picks up. He just killed the Goliath. And now he's this giant, this crazy guy. And now he's standing there in front of the king, right after he killed Goliath. And he's testifying to who he is and so forth. And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, it says, now when he had finished speaking to Saul, King Saul, when David finished speaking to King Saul, the soul of Jonathan. Now, Jonathan is King Saul's son, okay? So he's heir to the throne. This guy is an incredible man of faith. And there's some stories about him in the Bible and what he accomplished by faith. So he's a man of tremendous character. David's a man of tremendous character. Of course, David's like, he's a young guy. What, 17 years old or something like that. So he's 17 years old, but he's got tremendous character. Like I said, he just killed a lion, killed a bear. Now he just killed Goliath. And he's ready to lead this army. And so it says, now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Loved him as his own soul. There was this bond, there was this connection. See, these guys were close to God. They knew the Spirit of God. And so there was a spiritual connection between these two. And he just, when he saw it, when Jonathan was listening to him, because Jonathan's a man of faith, you know, and he hears his faith coming at David, and just so what David just did, man, they were just knitted together. And he loved him as his own soul, the CSB translation. When David had finished speaking with Saul, Jonathan was bound to David in close friendship. Everybody say friendship. Okay, we're talking about friendship. You want to see an example of friendship in the Bible? Well, we got Jesus saying, you're my friends, if you do everything I tell you, right? And a friend love is a lay your life down kind of love, right? Now we see an example here. And it says, when David had finished speaking with Saul, Jonathan was bound to David in close friendship and loved him as much as he loved himself. Loved him as much as he would love himself. And then verse 3 of 1 Samuel 18, it says, then Jonathan and David made a covenant. They made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. And this whole has spiritual significance, symbolism here, okay, which we're not going to get into right now. But they made this covenant. They made a covenant. This is a lifelong commitment with each other. And it was as if saying, when in a covenant like that, you're saying, your life is my life and my life is your life. This is very serious. And back in those days, and still in many places in the world today, these kind of covenants are taken very seriously, very seriously. I mean, you don't dare violate that covenant. You don't dare break a blood covenant. You just don't do it. You would never dare to do anything against a blood covenant brother, a blood covenant friend. You'd never do it. I mean, if you ever did, people would come, in some countries, they'd come and seek your life if you did anything to betray a blood covenant relationship. So it's that deep. It's that serious. That serious of a thing. And that's God's idea of friendship. We see it right here. That's what a spiritual friendship is. This is a spiritual thing. It's a deep thing. Friendship. It's a very serious thing. I'm talking about Bible friendship. It's a very serious thing. It's a covenant relationship. It's a covenant relationship. Now, let's flip back to the boyfriend and girlfriend thing, because you guys are at a time in your life where, you know, you hear a lot of stuff along those lines, and a lot of times there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure to have a boyfriend, to have a girlfriend, right? You hear a lot about that kind of stuff. I have a crush on so-and-so. And that's nice. I think I love him. No, you don't understand love. But we're learning. We're growing. But it would obviously be inappropriate for a boy and a girl to have this kind of bond with each other. We see it here with David and Jonathan. But if there was going to be that kind of bond between a male and a female, well, that's where you get marriage. That's what a marriage is. So then we have to ask ourselves, am I at the age to get married? Because boyfriend, girlfriend, not boy fellowship, girl fellowship, which is what it should be, But boyfriend, girlfriend, according to the Bible, is a lifelong covenant relationship. Who here is ready to get married? Good. Then that means you're not ready for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I'm just giving you the Bible. Now, you can do the world's way, of course, and it'll end in death. But if you want life, if you want to do it God's way, see, there's a way that seems right, and a lot of the church world doesn't even know this, but thank God you're learning this tonight, right? So this is a beautiful thing. But if we're going to talk about boyfriend and girlfriend, and we love being close to each other, let's go back. I just love her as my own soul. Well, get married. I can't. I'm 15. Then shut up. Because, listen, there's always going to be an attraction between male and female. There's no escaping that. God created that. That's a part of life, okay? But you have to understand the purpose for the relationship. You can't follow your feelings and your emotions, okay? You can't follow your feelings and your emotions. You follow your feelings and your emotions like the world does, you know, the relationship's going to get all messed up because you're going to do the wrong thing in the relationship. You're going to get hurt because you're going to do the wrong thing with the relationship, not understanding that, oh, wait a second, this is fellowship. Fellowship. Back up. And you don't go there. You don't enter into this deep soul connecting, intimate, pour our hearts out each other on the text. You don't do that when you understand the purpose of the relationship is fellowship. See, but if you don't understand that, then you think friendship, boyfriend, girlfriend, and now all of a sudden you go into something deeper than you should and you get yourself hurt. And you hurt people because you're not ready for it. It's not time for that. You got to understand these things. And really, somebody says, well, how do you know about husband and wife? How do you know about that? Is this the one I'm going to marry? Well, let's talk about your relationship. Let's talk about your love affair with Jesus first. How's your faith with Jesus doing? Well, David did it. He was 17 years old. Good. What was the last lion you killed? What was the last bear you killed? Can you tell me the last Goliath you slew? The last army that you led? Okay? I think when we're operating on the level of faith that David was walking in, then we can compare ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? Let's develop our love affair with Jesus. Then if we have a strong faith in God and a strong love affair with him, and we're mature in our faith and our character, and we're at a time in our life where marriage is possible, then God can come in there and we can find ourselves connected and knit together with somebody, and we can move in that direction. But it's not safe to move. It's inappropriate to move in that direction before you have a strong love affair with him. It's not smart. You have a strong love affair with him first. You walk with Jesus. You have a strong faith. And this is God. This is how it's supposed to work. That's how when God made Adam and Eve in the very beginning, Adam and Eve, they were fellowshipping with God first. You know, Adam was walking with God and fellowshipping with God and developing his relationship with God. And then God put him to sleep, took out his rib, went over here, built a woman. He made her. And then we don't know when, you know, Adam woke up. He went back to work. He was a little sore probably, you know. But he went back to work. We don't know when God brought the woman to it. God took the woman. He woke up. And God was having a relationship. I believe God was developing a relationship with her. And then the day came. He said, darling, let's go. Oh, I got somebody. I want somebody to meet. And God brought them together. See? And there was a connection. But first they had the relationships with God. That's how God intended it from the very beginning. Because marriage, it's supposed to be built on the rock. It's supposed to be built on your love for God. The love of God is what's going to make that thing work. So the whole focus right now is build our faith, build our character, you know, and have great fellowship with each other, man. Fellowship with each other. And if you just have fellowship with each other, then you don't put pressure on each other and have these expectations and demands and like, I can't believe they treated me that way. Well, if you understood it was fellowship, then you wouldn't have been so upset that they treated you that way. Wouldn't have bothered you so much because, well, it's fellowship. I mean, no, nobody should treat you that way, but it's not devastating. It doesn't hurt you. It's not crushing. It's not devastating. Because it's fellowship. And especially with boys and girls. Boy, girlfriends, boyfriends, girlfriends. The world is so confused in this. They are so messing themselves up. They're in such confusion. That's a way. We don't love the world. We're not going to be conformed to this world. We're going to follow God's way of doing things. Let's go the way of life. Let's go the way that is proven to work. Let's do it God's way. I don't like it. Well, then the love of the Father is not in you. You need to get that straight. If we love the Father, we love the Word. We love doing it His way, okay? So we have fellowship with each other, and we can go deep into a spiritual fellowship with each other. And that's a fellowship in the presence of God. It's not in hearts and candies at Valentine's. I'm going to get you some chocolate. Keep your chocolate. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that kind of communion, that kind of deep relationship. I'm talking about chocolate candies and flowers. We're talking about the presence and power of God. That's what we're talking about. And that's what God's got for us. So we're going to go, let's go deeper into prayer with each other. Let's go deeper in our fellowship with each other in that way. And deeper, let's believe God for the presence of God to come. We come together in this place. Let's get the presence of God in here, man. Let's manifest God. He inhabits our praises. Let's praise Him. So that's our focus. So we can go deeper in our fellowship with each other, spiritually deeper, and then continue to mature and grow in our character with God and just forget the dating game, man. Forget it. All right? Let's enjoy fellowship. Like I said, if you have deep things you want to share, go to deep people that really care. Oh, I like that. Somebody write that down quick. If you have deep things you want to share, then go to deep people who really care. That's what you do. So again, like I said, a parent, how about a pastor? That's what a pastor's for. You got spiritual leaders in your life that they're deep, right? They got the depth and they got the love. For you. They're people you could trust with those deeper things. So you don't want to just go to people that aren't that deep. Can I give you an example of that really quick? 1 Kings chapter 12. You got to look at this. 1 Kings, the 12th chapter. Now, this is after, you know, Solomon was king. He built this big empire, right? And then his son takes over. Solomon dies. His son takes over, Rehoboam. He takes over to be king, and it says here in verse 1, now Rehoboam went to Shishim, for all Israel had gone to Shishim to make him king. So it was when Jeroboam, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, Karaboshte, Velibraste, verse 5. So he said to them, depart for 3 days, then come back to me, and the people departed. So here's the story, okay? So these people come to the king, this new king, and they ask him, they make this request to him. And so he's not really quite sure how to answer them. He's a new king. He's going to get some counsel, right? So he goes, come back in a few days, and I'll have your answer. So these people leave. They leave. And then it says, verse 6, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father, Solomon, while he still lived. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? So he's going to these guys, these elders, you know? They served with his father, Solomon. Build this empire. So he's a smart guy, right? He's going to the elders, deep. He's going to the deep people. And they spoke to him saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the counsel which the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him, and said to them, what counsel do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father had laid a heavy yoke on you, I'll add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I'll chastise you with scourges. So he goes to the elders, and he says to the elders, how do you counsel I answer these guys? And he the elders say, answer them, you know, really nicely. Show them that you want to be their servant. You want to da-da-da-da-da. Some really good advice. He didn't like that. He goes over to his buddies. Guys same age as him, the guys he grew up with. He says, how do you guys counsel? They said, you need to go in there and tell these people, blah, 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 blah. And you need to be tough, and you need to be strong. And so he listens to what the shallow people say that he grew up with, not the deep people, not the spiritual people. And what happened? Well, what happened was those people rebelled, and the whole nation went into a civil war, and the whole nation was divided up and split, and it was all messed up, and he ended up running for his life, the king. That's what ended up happening, because he didn't follow the deep people. He followed the shallow people. So confide in deeper people. Be smart. Go to the elders. When you got deep questions, when you got deep feelings, trust it with deep people. Don't trust the deep things in you to people that haven't proven themselves to be deep yet. You understand what I'm saying? David and Jonathan were two deep people. They trusted each other. Their hearts were knit together, and they were able to make a lifelong covenant commitment with each other. Wow, it's an awesome thing. So there's a difference between fellowship and friendship. Do you see that? According to the Word of God, there's a difference between fellowship and friendship. Somebody says, well, can't I call them my friend? Well, you could, but why don't you call them your brother? That might help you, see? That might just help you remember these things. You say, it's my brother, man. Reminds you, we got this brotherly commitment spiritually. See, he reminds us of our spiritual brother, because he's not really my brother in the flesh, but when I say he's my brother, I'm immediately reminding myself and him that we are spiritually connected. We're spiritually connected by the Holy Spirit, and man, you and I are following Jesus. We're following God, right? So we're brothers and they're sisters. So just because we're friendly doesn't mean we're friends, because the Bible definition of friend, it's a pretty deep thing, isn't it? It's a lifelong covenant commitment thing. So we don't want to put pressure on people that are not ready for that kind of commitment. You're actually putting pressure on people, say, you're my friend forever. That is putting pressure on them to be something that you yourself can't even live up to. That's something God puts together as we mature spiritually. And it's a beautiful thing. Can you say amen? All right, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank God tonight. Thank you, Father, for teaching us your word, teaching us your ways. We want to go the way of life, not the way that seems right. We thank you so much for your word transforming us, not allowing us to conform to this world, Father. We thank you so much. I thank you so much for these young people, Lord. I pray for them, Lord, that you would strengthen them with this word tonight, that this word would really sink in, get down deep on the inside of them, and really help them in their relationships with life. Because if they have good relationships, by understanding the purpose for each relationship, then they can have real successful lives and not cause themselves a lot of hurt and pain. So we thank you for that, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.